morning.
Good morning.
Are we having a good day?
Well, hello.
How are you?
Fine. How are you, Dennis?
I'm great, Ruth.
Mighty quiet on this line.
Yes, in fact, I called Nancy and said, did the number change or something? And she says, no, Char's number. So I was getting concerned.
Yeah, time to get started here. And I'm not so Hey, Char.
Hi, this is Dottie from Massachusetts. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Dottie.
Beautiful day, huh?
I feel like fog.
we have beautiful weather here in New England. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I bet. That time of year.
Yes, I love it.
Everybody, say who you are, where are you calling from? Waiting for everybody to get on here. Where are you from? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Oh, good morning. There you are. I'm glad to hear your voice.
I'm glad to be here. Is Dennis on yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we should have some fun this morning. So, let's see. Good. Everybody that's on the host line, and Lynn, are you on? I wonder if she remembers. Okay, I'm going to take 30 seconds.
Dennis, can you call Lynn Dillman and ask her to get on the same host line that she did on Saturday? I know I said it, but it may not have been the last couple of days. And ask her to call Darlene also, if you would.
Jeannie.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Way, California.
Good morning, Way.
Good morning, Char. This is Maddie.
Good morning, Maddie.
So I've been to the Costco and look for that Marbella bar.
Oh, yeah. Laurabelle. L-A-R-A-B-A-R-A.
Well, they went down everywhere.
B-A-R.
So they asked if you could take one of your wrappers and maybe mail it to me, and then maybe they can get it in.
Okay, I'm sure they can. Okay, I will do that.
Thanks.
Email me a reminder on it with your address, please.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Is Monty on, too?
Oh, Monty's here.
Oh, Monty's there. Of course, Monty's there. I know that. Should have be. Let's see.
This is Lila and Lacey.
Good morning, Lila.
Hi.
Ruth, did you happen to invite Winnie to be on the line?
I did not.
Okay. I think that would be interesting from a brand new person there.
To Clem and Lila Rolls out from Michigan.
Good morning, Clem.
Mary Lou from...
Don't
call me.
Monday morning, guess what? Oh, boy. And let's see. Well, is there anyone else that was at the convention that I've missed? Janie. Maybe. Okay. Didn't think she was going to be able to get on.
No, it's Jeannie.
Oh, dear. I did have that problem going, didn't I? Just a little bit when we were
all... Doesn't matter, though. That's
good. Okay, Dennis, let's go ahead and roll it, and I'll give the intro real quick here. Good morning to all of you out there that have come on board with us for Advanced Lifestyle or getting information for Advanced Lifestyle, both. And I just want to tell you that the purpose for this call is to provide you with the most current nutritional and advanced product technology information in the wellness industry. We know that when better health is attained, all areas of our life are impacted. And the people that you're going to hear today are part of a study pilot group that has been going on for several weeks now and are actively applying both the principles found in the China study as well, but by Colin Campbell, and also we're all utilizing the cutting edge wellness products that are made available by NECAN Incorporated. In the study where in the China study where the book begins, it describes the largest nutritional study ever done in the world. There were 880 million participants. We just ask that if you find this information helpful and beneficial in any way, in anything that you've learned, please pass it on, the call number and the time, to others. And we thank you for allowing us to enter your home, office, or car as you're traveling at this time.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Okay, what we want to do is just cover some points that we picked up, saying we've got Monty on the line, I know for sure, and Ruth on the line, that we gained when we attended a seminar just a week ago down in Santa Rosa, California. It was held at the Dr. John McDougall Wellness Center, and we feel privileged to have learned about this just in the last few months and have gathered what I feel and what the rest of us on the line here feel was some very, very important knowledge and information for our health. And Ruth and Monty and I were in at the very beginning when we started all this together and discovered that maybe we had found an old, old piece of information that's been out there for not only the last 30 years, but actually for centuries and centuries to the beginning of man, if you want to put it that way, on how we can make our body run better by fueling it with the right foods. Okay, let's see. Do either of you want to give a little bit of background, Ruth or Monty, on how you felt when this was just beginning, at the very, very beginning, when you were first talking about it, just to give some insight?
I would do a little brief part. I think Monty will probably cover it more thoroughly. I think that when I read the China study, I realized that we had the facts and we had the proof that eating in a plant-based diet was recommended. That was the wise thing to do. The Dr. McDougall, I found him on the website and looking up recipes and things and ran into his website, but he has provided support in many ways for that and further proving it, but really the support also. And then when we went down to the seminar, what I found is he was bringing many more speakers in that further proved it, and I'm excited to share some of the notes and things that I picked up down there.
Okay, thank you, Ruth. What about Monty?
Well, I think when I first heard about this, of course, Shark, I had done so well in regards to weight loss and getting off medication and my insulin and everything else on the lifestyle program, that a situation occurred and I was looking for more optimal health. And I think in reading the book, that totally gave me the credibility and the validation. And Dr. Goose talks about that, Carol Goose talks about that quite a bit, in regards to not only was the information there, but also the research that backed up and the references where people could go and check things out in regards to what the book had said. And because I like to do that pretty much on everything, and that was very impressive to me. It was there. And in the book, he talked about Dr. McDougall and Dr. Esselstein, I hope I pronounced that right, Dr. S, I'll call him, in regards to that, how disease itself could be, that we could trigger certain genes within our body to turn off and turn on, and whether it be good or bad, all based upon the food that we put in our mouth. And I really realized that in regards to the lifestyle calls that we had, and then taking it to this particular, tweaking it to this level, with what I consider to be pretty much optimal health, along with all of our other products that we have through the Nikkei Corporation, that people that understood that, but understood more about why when we put food in our mouth, you know, we're not animals that, and Ruth talked about this on Saturday's call, you know, where our teeth are different than animal teeth, and when you look at some of the biggest animals in the world, they're not meat eaters. And when you take the survey that was done with those 800 million people, and you come to the end result, which Dr. Campbell was looking for, what was it that was why these certain countries didn't have the diseases that we have eating that rich American diet that we eat? And when he boiled it down to the animal flesh and dairy products, and understanding that the casein that's in particularly dairy products is a main trigger to the C word, the cancer, that absolutely, and we're all looking for that. I mean, we're all looking, you know, there are programs on TV that raise thousands and millions of dollars every year for taking chronic diseases, no matter whether it be multiple sclerosis, cancer, diabetes, or whatever, and they're raising all this money, but yet the secret or the key was right there. And I found that is what I found for me was the China study. That brought it out, and like Shar and Ruth have said, this has been around for how long? Thousands of years, this way of eating. I mean, this was discussed way back when. And so now all of a sudden we got so involved, the world did, particularly American marketing products, but yet the proper way of eating for our bodies was right there in front of us and was strictly nothing more than a plant-based diet. And that got me excited because, like I said, I'm always looking for the optimal side or the next thing that is going to make life better for me. And being able to pass this on, I think, was great. And Dr. Campbell did it. In my opinion, Dr. Campbell did. When he talks about McDougall and Esselstyn, you know, when you go and you read their books and whatever, you just got to want to learn more. You just have to.
You know, one of the things that pops into my mind that was talked about briefly, but much more so in the China study, was the fact that, one of my concerns is that this just, again, gets lumped into another diet. And when you look at all the things that have been tried over the many years here in this country that have gotten so much recognition that are just another diet out there, they're only addressing parts of it. And the first thing I thought of was the low-fat part. We went crazy with low-fat diets. And, of course, then they went on the other side with the Atkins and on a high-fat diet and a high-protein diet and no carbs. But all these other ones address just sections. And then when they find out that, yes, they can look at the fat as being a really big part of this, but it's the animal fat. And never did they address, as you know, any other major study ever addressed all fat. Well, you know, we thought of chicken breast as being very lean, and when in fact it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% fat when you look at it as far as that is concerned. And so until all animal products are taken out, you cannot see the kinds of results that they could see when they did the China study. So that was one thing that was so very, very profound to me in the book, as well as what was stated. But it was, everybody was there already realizing that to some degree, so it didn't get as much coverage as it actually did in the book, I didn't feel. Do you guys have any other thoughts down that same road? Because that seems to be one of the greatest things that we hear. Oh, you know, it's just another diet. Well, no, it's not just another diet. The science is there, and there's no way of refuting any of it that I can see and that we can find or that the doctors can find when they start working with it.
Well, you know, Dr. McDougall down there talked about some of the research that was done by the animal and the dairy industry. And the one that I thought was kind of interesting is one when he talked about the dairy industry, and it did state that this was paid for by the dairy industry. Matter of fact, this particular one bit of research, and that research came out to the same conclusion that, that Dr. Campbell talks about, is that dairy products can create and bring on that cancer, those cancer situations. But yet they take that and they bury those with that research. They don't really talk about it and do whatever. But, you know, here again, when you really realize, and when they talked about how research is paid for, you know, the dairy industry and the beef industry, whatever, pay tremendous amounts to have research done, and then they buy the research that's unfavorable to them. And you know, we talk about fats or oils or all that kind of stuff, and you're right, everything has been pretty much a fad. You know, you take, I guess the synergistic, and I forget, what did Dr. Campbell call it?
Reduction.
Reduction. And that's about what every diet does. It takes one thing, and it hones in on that. It's just like when you talked about the low-fat diet. It was amazing how the industry, the food industry, immediately picked up on the fat, on the low-fat, and that's what they put on all their products and everything else, low-fat and blah, blah, blah. But yet the products itself increased in calories. And it was just, you know, when you really start looking and understanding what it is that we're hearing and seeing through advertisement isn't always necessarily healthy for us. But when I say Campbell pulls it all together in the China study with all those people, and that was the conclusion they found out. Those people that ate less food, flesh, and dairy products didn't have the particular situations like we have. And the hip fracture was the one that kind of blew my mind. You know, with actually those people that have more, because of this word osteoporosis, that has more of a feel that they have it, that the dairy industry says you need to have more dairy and whatever. And when it boils down to it, that's one of the big problems. But a lot of other things came out, and I'm sure I'll have some more here.
I like a lot of what Dr. Michael Greger had to say. He's an MD from the University of Wisconsin. And before I go through a couple of notes that he had, we have, in looking at all these different diets, we have really realized that the different foods that we have incoming to our body either cause us to be acid or alkaline. We've talked about that quite a bit. And so we have the acidity. If we are acidic, then we have a more likelihood of having cancer. That makes the cells become cancerous. We have the acidity of our body causing a lot of eating away at our bones, causing osteoporosis. And then we have foods that cause the most acidity are the milk products and the meat products, and then sugar. And the foods, also these meats are also the ones that bring us cholesterol, and so then they cause a lot of heart disease. And I liked when Brenda Davis, the nutritionist that spoke several times, I liked her list of the things that animal foods bring to us. Well, they do bring protein, but then the other things that they bring are the cholesterol, and then the vegetable things, foods bring protein equal to the animal, but they bring the antioxidants and all the good things that we need for our body. But then Dr. McGregor, he brought in also information that says cancer daily deaths that cancer causes are equal to those of 9/11 every day. Every day, because of the cancer deaths, we're having a 9/11. Nobody's even yelling about it, practically. We have lost the war on cancer. And it's not just the acidity and not just the cholesterol, but the carcinogens that are in contact with our cells because of these animal products. Dioxin was one that he said was the most toxic contaminant for our bodies of all. And we get 22 times the maximum dose through food. This is astounding to me, the DDT in the foods. So the vast source of the dioxin we get into our body are meat, poultry, and fish. And he recommended that we eliminate or reduce the dioxin in our bodies by eating a plant-based diet.
And we can never fuel the cholesterol issue if we don't have the animal products in there. Is that not right, Ruth?
We can never fuel. We can't get rid of it unless we get rid of the animal products. That's what you meant, right?
Right. The only thing that fuels the increase in cholesterol is animal products.
That's right.
And it's kind of like what Ruth says, too. You know, we are more concerned as consumers on herbicides, pesticides, and all that kind of stuff on the food we eat, but we're not concerned about those things that the animal is eating. In other words, the animal's eating all this kind of junk and crud and pesticides and herbicides and whatever, because these are putting out all the products and doing whatever. So as we know, as these animals ingest these types of foods, they in turn, and we get it, we're the chain that picks it up further down the road. And we're not concerned about what is being fed to the animals or to the fish or to the poultry or whatever else, because they're being loaded with all this kind of stuff. And then we turn around and ingest it into our body, and then we wonder why we have these large toxic situations in our body like Ruth is talking about.
But, you know, there's another argument for that other side of that that can be made, like where Danny and I have been, and that's eating our own organic beef and not farmed fish and having everything clean. But that still does not eradicate it. It's the animal, period. No matter how healthy it is and how well it's been fed, it's still the processing of the animal product in our body. If it was pure and had no toxins in it, am I not right there too, Monty?
That's right. You're still going to have the acidity. You're still going to have the cholesterol. You're still going to have problems even in digestion.
And
because we aren't made to digest that.
And how can we be so misled? I mean, how could this really be true? Well, you think about it. If you're going to threaten the vast, huge poor population of this country's income, would you be talking about it? I mean, or would you be putting every bit of money you could possibly scrape together to keep it undercover and not make public the information? I mean, who is going to ever back studies? To me, it's unbelievable that they got the funding, and most of it was because they didn't even know what was going on at the very beginning anyway, what they were uncovering. Some of it, even Dr. Campbell admits to not realizing that it could ever be as profound as it was. And to have that come up, why did it never come up before? Well, nobody wanted it to come up before. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to lose those businesses. This is huge, huge money involving millions of people out there in this country needing to find some other occupation and another way of doing it. You know, you think about little things like Teflon pans. One minute percentage compared to what we're looking at, if this population would begin changing their diet and there was no more need for all of the products related to animal, not to mention all the processed and refined foods that we buy out of the grocery store, the aisles and aisles and aisles of foods that would never go into our bodies if we really realized that these are also contributing to disease. We might touch on that a bit.
Well, you know, it's like Dr. McDougall said, you know, nobody ever dies of cholesterol. In other words, that's the cause of death. But the cause of death is what the cholesterol causes within our bodies and our veins and bringing out, like what Bruce said, bringing out the toxicity within our bodies and, you know, clogging it. And that just blows my mind. And we get all that cholesterol from the animals' flesh that we eat. It just blows my mind.
Another thing that we get, I keep calling him Dr. McGregor, Michael McGregor, brought out that I thought was really interesting. I'm not sure that it will help you change your life. I think they'll better go on some of the things that they mentioned that would really help. But where do the emerging diseases come from in the last 400 years or so? Well, the Americans over here before Columbus arrived, they didn't have all these diseases. We remember studying in elementary school that when they came and they brought measles with them and practically cured the Native Americans off, well, they hadn't had these diseases before because they didn't have domesticated animals, is what he told us. And then this is just kind of interesting. I'm not sure if it'll change your life. Where did the diseases come from? Goats brought TB. Cows brought the measles. Over 200 million were killed. Camels brought smallpox. Pigs brought typhus. Chickens brought chickenpox. Ducks brought the flu. Water buffalo brought leprosy. And the horse, when it was domesticated, then brought colds. And so then his big concern along that line was the flu, and that would be the next pandemic of the world. And that a thing that he said that went right along with that is that the food, the chickens and the birds that live outside are not really bringing these diseases or even maybe carrying them. It's the ones that are all caged up in the cages that are going to be the big problem. But another thing he brought that was encouraging that we need to know is broccoli helps us take out the trash, gets the toxins out of our body. Greens can cut our cancer in half. They boost the liver's ability to remove toxins, and bladder cancer is cut in half of people that will have it or will get rid of it by cabbage. Yay, cabbage.
And what were we taught in the lifestyle program? That our food is our drugs, and I totally believe that. So that when we move to a plant-based diet and we start eating these particular things and eliminating those other things that we know that are bad for us, but yet we sometimes say, well, you know, I can't do that, or I could, man, how would I ever get the amount of protein? Or, you know, we can come up, and I hope nobody takes us wrong, but we have, you know, we can come up with all kind of excuses for why not to do something. And I think what that China study did, and going down there that weekend and reading the books of McDougall and Esselstyn and whatever, I think that really made sense to me. It really is a way that we can get control of diseases that most of us have in our body. Is it a 100% answer to cure? Or, I didn't mean to use the word cure, but because this is, I'm not making any medical claims whatsoever. But what I'm just saying is that we do control. It's like Ruth, you said to me on that one call, not to me, you did say it to me, even though you didn't mention my name, but you said we have to learn to take control of our health. And if we know all this information that's out there now, that has been around for years, and we know that other countries and cultures that don't eat the way that we eat don't have those diseases, but yet they come here to America, or we as a marketing America goes to those countries with our McDonald's and our Kentucky Fried Chickens and our rich American diet, then they start coming down with these particular products. We've got to open our eyes and realize that yes, there might be a little bit of sacrifice that needs to be made in regards to our pleasure trap, and why do we, you know, it's so easy to just to reach for that potato chip when we're hungry instead of really thinking about why we shouldn't have it, or basing our meals around protein rather than around starches and plant-based greens and yellows and eat more of that stuff. When we know it's there like we know it is now, people just have to learn to make those choices. Now, that is their choice, their health, their life, and that's totally up to them. But like Dr. McDougall said, moderation will still kill you.
Lynn, did you make it on the line?
Yes, Ron and I are here.
Okay, thank you. What's your thoughts on what you saw and heard when you were down there?
Well, it,
any area.
Well, it just reinforced everything that, you know, we read in the China study, and of course, as I mentioned on the Saturday call, we had, when we lived in Santa Rosa 15 years ago, we had discovered McDougall then, and we were eating the McDougall lifestyle for several years back then, and then when we moved away, we got away from it. So reading the China study was a huge wake-up call, and, you know, it just hit us right between the eyes, of course, and we thought, oh my gosh, we were doing the right thing way back then, so we're going to get right back to it. So we did, and then going down there for that weekend was just awesome to sort of solidify everything and hear Campbell himself just back up, you know, in person the things that he was saying. And I thought it was interesting on his second talk on Sunday when his talk was the spotlight on two fundamental assumptions that are the bedrock of the Western modern medicine. And he went through the history of protein when it was actually sort of isolated and discovered and named was in the 1800s. And very early 1900s, there was a researcher by the name of Roger Williams, and this is a quote from him. Now, this is before all of our refined foods and everything. He said, probably no single factor is more important in determining the outbreak of cancer than the gluttonous intake of protein. I thought that was really great. And then right around the same time as that researcher. There was another one, Russell Chittenden, and he was professor of physiology at the Yale School of Medicine. He tested 15 people for their students for their strength and endurance on a low protein diet, and showed that they had plenty of strength and endurance. And then he was severely criticized, of course, for that study. And so then he did another test, and he took athletes that were at their peak performance, and he had some of them eating animal protein and some of them eating plant-based, and the plant-based ones increased their strength more than those eating the animal protein, because a lot of times people think that, the myth out there is that animal protein is superior in quality to plant protein, when in fact it's inferior. So that's one of a couple of things I got out of that one. Ron, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think Bert, just before I discussed that, it was significant to me that he said circa 1700 that there were over 1,000 books written and printed in Europe and in England around about the plant-based diet and its relationship to health. And so he quoted many of the famous people in history at that time, particularly in Europe and in England, that were on a plant-based diet and really doing really quite well. And then as he shifted to this thought in America, you know, that that the quality of of protein is so important, and this guy Motor, who discovered protein, took it from the word proteus, which meant the main thing. And so all of a sudden the thought was, oh, well, the protein is the most important thing. We have to do with a whole lot of it. If a little's good, a whole lot's better. And then he quoted Don Liebig, you know, the protein is the stuff of life itself. And he went on down through different people. Even one guy named Voigt, who was well known at the time, established that 52 grams a day of protein was really all that man needed. But because of the pending philosophy at the time, he really adjusted it just for no reason at all other than political reasons to 120 milligrams a day. And it just went on and on as Lynn was discussing that. And then he himself, still believing that that we needed to close a protein gap, that is Campbell, in 1965 started that study that really all of a sudden broke the dam for him, and he discovered that an increase in protein in children, I believe it was in the Philippines, actually increased cancer in liver. And my gosh, and then in 1997 he did another major study of the hepatitis B gene, and the increase in liver cancer came from 12 to 20% of protein. So even that small amount, you can still create liver cancer, and yet 6% or less in that study, they got none. And so over and over and over, just these thousands of studies showing the effect of plant-based diet. And then this whole idea of, you guys were talking about earlier, what he called the naked reductionism, taking just one little thing and building a whole case around it, as we do like in the pharmaceutical industry. And Campbell said, well, of course, there are millions of chemicals, processes going on in food continually. And so it isn't just one little thing. You pick one thing out of the millions, you're not even beginning to see the truth of what goes on. So there are millions of events going on, and the body has the capacity to know what to do with it. And so it was very that aspect really was very interesting to me too.
And our country goes on spending billions of dollars trying to find the one magic pill drug that they can patent to wipe out cancer, when in effect, by what we fuel our bodies with, not only would wipe out, they said within such a short turnaround period, this wasn't stated down there, but in some of the reference books that we've worked with, that in a very short period, if the entire population would do this, it would wipe out not only cancer, it would wipe out the biggest possible percentage all the other diseases we're looking at also, cardiovascular, diabetes, all the autoimmune diseases. All of these are linked, as well as cancer. They pick cancer because, you know, it gets a lot of attention. But all of these are linked to exactly the same thing. And, you know, if this sounds so strange for all of us in NECAN, look at what we expect people to believe when we use a magnet. You know, well, does it just affect, you know, cancer cells? Does it just affect, you know, does it just affect one other disease? No, it's the total wellness of the body that affects. So does sleep. So does water. So how can it be so amazing that it's so impossible to grasp that by reducing and taking out the animal product and all of the characteristics of that, anything related, anything that has a face or a mother that's related to that industry, that we can accomplish this? Well, it, you know, when you look at the research, it's actually a no-brainer. Let's shift real quick here before we run out of time and talk about how do we accomplish this, because they did a lot of work for that, for us on that subject. And besides the three, well, in addition to the three parts to it, vegetables, fruit. But,
Desi Davis, you want to do that, what she said, Shar?
Yeah, the starches that he uses as his main entree to secure all of this in place. Yeah, go ahead, Ruth.
Debbie Davis, a nutritionist from Canada, says order of what you eat. Number one is what you fill up your plate mostly with is your salad, and then you take your vegetables, and then you have your concentrated carbs, and you want to have good carbohydrates, but they are not the biggest part of your plate. We are still there with our salad and then our vegetables and then our good carbs. So it's 1, 2, 3. Now, we have found so many great recipes. All you have to do is go online and do a search for, you can, we're not fond of the word, but vegan recipes. You'll get a zillion.
And, Lynn, you had a good website, if you've got that in front of you, that was new to many of us.
Right. It's called fatfreevegan.com. And, you know, again, it's got a little search place you can put it, you know, a type of food or you know, an ingredient or whatever. And it'll even come up with McDougal ones. So somehow she's associated with McDougal as well.
And you can definitely go to drmcdougal.com, and that's drmcdougall.com. And, of course, it was new to me when Monty just told us on Saturday that it has its own search engine, and it, in that site, if you type in a search, a word for a search, it will bring it up within that, within his area there, and give you research on it or news, things from newsletters or whatever. I mean, it's very, very extensive website. And he is one of the main doctors that is referred to by Dr. Campbell, as well as his Esselstyn back on the in the Cleveland clinic, where he is a very, very specialized cardiologist, or was. I guess he's not practicing there at this time. But the research that he has done, these are some of the prominent doctors working with it today. There's thousands of references. It's not like we're hurting for information. Time in putting it together, cost in putting it together, it's not nearly what we make it out to be, only because that only issue is the change, and the change is basically between our ears. Some people do it overnight, some people do it gradually. We didn't see any problem with doing it overnight. It was gone. The animal product was gone. There was still a little bit of refined in our diet that we continue to work on, because it's just there without us even realizing it sometimes. But you do have control when you eat at home. You don't have the same level of control in society when you eat out. You're at the mercy of putting it together.
The other thing, too, Dr. McGregor talked about the top 12 cancer-fighting superfoods. Would it be okay if I mention them, Sean?
Yes, definitely.
The first one he considered was to be greens. The second one was oats and other whole grains. Third was berries, garlic, yams, and I'm just going down, beans, B12, fortified nutritional yeast, and flax seeds, ground up, miso. Okay. Green tea, shiitake mushrooms, and nuts. And the other thing he made, which I thought was real interesting, because one of the things that people, everybody recommends that you, if you're going to go this lifestyle, that you should, when after you've been on it for 3 years, go taking a vitamin B12 supplement. And his recommendation was one 2,000 microgram tablet daily, chewed or dissolved under your tongue once a week, okay? Or 10 to 100 micrograms of supplements once a day, or servings of B12 fortified foods twice a day. And folks, I'm here to tell you that if you're taking the Kinzen, if you take the Kinzen's men or the Kinzen's women, you don't have to worry about vitamin B12, because vitamin B12 on a daily consumption of our little packet is 700 mcgs. So, don't worry about that. So, but I thought some of those foods that they happened to mention were absolutely astronomical. And since you're now talking about websites, Dr. Campbell is starting up a website, and it's called NutritionAdvocate.com. That was Nutrition Advocate. And if you want to get in there, it's up and running. Dr. Campbell has a few articles in there at this particular time if you want more verification. The other one, and Ron talked about it in regards to the history of vegetarian and that's the way of eating. But there's also another good book out there that Dr. Campbell recommended, and it was called The Bloodless Revolution, and it's a culture history of vegetarianism from 1600. In other words, they knew about this way back when to modern times, and I'm going to get that book in because I love to read, but like we've been getting at, this has been around forever. And now it's just coming back out in the forms of people like Campbell, McDougall, and Esselstein. And Shari, you happened to mention about all the money that's being spent to hide this particular situation that we know in research is true, but also all the effort that is put forth by the dairy industry and the meat industry to discredit people like Dr. Campbell, McDougall, McGregor, anybody that feels this way and wants to speak out. The amount of money or the amount of criticism that comes towards these people is astronomical. And when that happens, that makes me want to make a little bit of listening, too, also.
Any other ideas on food that you want to give for pointers, Ruth, Lynn? I know you guys have made it very easy. You're very excited about it. I know, Ruth, you've got a wonderful way of keeping on hand some of the basics already made up.
That's true. I have this makeup of, I start with rice, but it really has more vegetables in it than anything. I have rice in it, I have beans, I don't always have all of these at the same time. I cook my rice so that it is not cooked overcooked. I just kind of just barely get it cooked so it's very nutty and chewy. But the recipe is on our website, YBHurton.biz website, so that's the letter Y, the letter B as in boy, H-U-R-T, the letter N as in Nancy, .biz, and so that recipe is on there. But the thing is that you can, last night I made, I guess they were burritos with that recipe, and today Whitney, our daughter, wants to make enchiladas with it, and so we make soup with it, we put salt on top of it, we do something with it, and it's always there, well, when I run out, it's there so that we can just make something quickly, and it fills you right up, and then I have it almost every day for breakfast, and sometimes, I don't usually have it for lunch, but sometimes I'll sprinkle some of it on my salad, and I usually have salad at dinner, and so it makes it very easy to have things like that. We have black beans available so that I can make up a bunch of those and I can freeze them in containers so those are available. And I do have the canned ones as well if we get in a really big hurry. Having things on hand really does help. Have cabbage on hand. Cabbage, if you put cabbage in a soup or in a dish, it sweetens it. Corn sweetens it up a little bit. It tastes a little dull and needs just a little something. You can put some cabbage or corn in.
And, of course, we've got all the herbs, dried or fresh, whatever you've got, that go in to give the flavor that you prefer or you like. And the way our tongue and taste buds adapt to whole foods is unbelievable as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I can't believe some of the things that Jenny just goes, ooh, ah, about. That, you know, a year ago, he goes, are we having this again? Well, why? Because it was done without anything other than just steaming it or boiling it before. Now that we don't have all this emphasis on the animal entree that has been the center performer on our plate forever, we're doing different things and using different herbs and different combinations with what we call whole foods, because that's the difference in what we're doing.
Now, you're the one that's great with recipes. I really enjoy getting the information that you give out on our daily calls with recipes. It always gives me good ideas. But one thing I think we should probably bring up also is when you take the animal foods out of your diet, you take out 3/4 of the calories. You can eat as many of these potatoes and carrots and cabbage and lettuce and all those things as you want. Because the rice mix, we can eat as much as we want because we don't have all those animal calories that were causing all the weight gain.
And one of the things I've thoroughly enjoyed, and that's having wholesome bread. I don't mean bleached flour bread. I mean wholesome food. I don't mean bread that one of the first 5 ingredients is a form of sugar or corn syrup, which is a form of sugar. I mean wholesome bread, and they're not difficult to find. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of them out there in every area of the country if you just look. Or, you know, I can't imagine living that remote that we don't have access to it. But these things are available if you become a label reader and you start looking at the guidelines. And anyone that wants to be included in some of the recipes, if you don't have our email, I do have a group list, and I'm more than happy to put you on it. It's Denny Char, just our first name, DennyChar, at comcast.net. And when I get one and it's put together so that it's easy to make, it will go out to anyone that's on that list. So, for our time's sake here, we're at the end and over it, and you know, the one thing I can urge you to do is not only does it cut the intake of all the negatives, it cuts the grocery bill, and they estimate at about 40% of what you would be spending. I know one thing it's cut for us is our desire to eat out, because we can make things so much better, so much easier than the time it takes to drive to the nearest restaurant and know what we've got. We know what we're putting together. And with our cookware, the more adept we get at doing this, the greater the natural response is going to be with other people. My comment is, and I know I'm not very subtle on this at all, and you guys will probably all laugh as I'm saying it, is, you know, I hate the word try. I hate the word mediocrity. I don't want mediocrity in my life. I want the very best, healthiest life I could ever design. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, the science is there to back what we are telling you this morning. There is no way that you could disprove this. I have yet to have the most brilliant minds in medicine go through the information and put 1 ounce of energy into anything negative on the other side. It's not possible. All I can say is educate yourself, because I believe education is power. We cannot live in an ignorant area if you have an intelligent mind and can grasp the facts and the science that is there for what we are saying. So I will challenge you with that, and then I will say, don't try it, just do it. What have you possibly got to lose? at a better shot at life and easy? I mean, Dr. McDougall says, no, it's not easy. But, you know, I look at it and I say, it is easy. How easy is it to go through a six-way bypass or to go through cancer surgery and then follow it with chemo and radiation? How easy are those choices? How inexpensive are those choices? How good for the body are those choices? I mean, that to me is absolute stupidity, to think that that is an alternative that could possibly be a better choice than making choices now that can prevent that and make it, give us the highest percentage possible of living a healthy life. I don't know. Am I off base? Ron, Lynn, Ruth, Monty, am I off base in making statements that strong?
Absolutely not.
That's just the way it is. And another thing, that as we are sitting there, this is all right in harmony with what we're doing. We're giving this call because we want to help. We want to make a difference. We want people to realize what there is out there. And this is a part of our social work. It's not, we're not today promoting NECAN, but it is very much in harmony with NECAN. If we take all of our NECAN wellness home products and put it together with this, we will be so much healthier. But if we leave this little part out, we're really still on the wrong track.
Well, we see it as a missing piece to the puzzle, the one piece that has been lacking in not only this nation, but is being spread all over the world, and there needs to be a stop put to it. And somewhere, the beginning of it has to take place. And, you know, what better place than with network marketers that can spread it? We've got a reason to do it. It backs everything we stand for in NECAN and only spreads the word further and gives us a greater base. Many of us are using it as a backdoor approach to people that we haven't been able to get their attention. And when they know that there's no purchase involved other than maybe collecting information, and they can do all of that on the internet, as we already talked about. Anybody have a last comment?
Yes, I have one, Char, and that is that if anybody's on this call that would like some great information, they can always go to Focus on Growth, who provides the packet of the four that we recommend to start the program, or they can purchase them on an individual basis. But if they really want to know more, they need to get, like you talked about, education. And there is some fantastic courses, in my opinion, and I say things a little weird, in those four books that have been recommended.
Okay, and that's focusongrowth.com for the website address. Very easy, and you can listen to the call recorded. Front page, bottom left, it says Advanced Lifestyle. I just want to thank all of you for your participation in this morning, and we're so grateful that we were able to attend the seminar and gain more knowledge. All of our guests, I want to thank you for joining us, and if you have any questions or comments, go back to the person that invited you to this call, and also to the website to gain more information on it. Have a wonderful day and make it a great week and a great life by the choices that you make today.